Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787. And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and each week we rotate through different growth strategies, different industries, different geographies. And what we're doing right now is a series of four programs. This is, I think, the third in the series. It's on how do you change your business model in response to the marketplace. Now, right now, it's certainly in response to the recession, but some people don't need to change their business model just because there is a recession. They just have to work harder. So I just want to make sure we go through some of the specifics about who needs to change the business model and how would you do it, especially when you have a recession hitting. You know, you're short on cash, you're short on people, there's more panic. How are you going to do that? So let me go through a little bit of the model to remind you what some of the other programs are. Drew Morrisrow from CTN talked about his specific examples over the last 2 years that he has been changing his IT business. And so I want you to listen to that program, go back, you know, find his program, and hear, you know, how did they even know they were in trouble? How did they know that they were feeling some problems before a recession told them? See, recessions basically take any of the vulnerabilities of your model and put them on steroids and make them really big so that you can't help but see them. And so if you were kind of fragile, if there was some disconnect between what you're doing and what the market really wants from you, or the profitability doesn't really get sustained because of your model, it'll come out in a recession. You'll feel it, but we don't have to wait for one to point it out. So his experience, listen to him particularly talk about what the symptoms were. Running faster than, you know, they needed to run. It was like living to feed the monster. Listen to how that looks. What are the symptoms of when you have a business model that just doesn't make sense and you need to be different? All right, another one is next week we're going to have Ron McFarland, and he's a specialist in international sales, originally from the United States, living in Japan, and has represented some small companies and some very large companies like Isuzu, talking about the difference in response of various corporations and countries. You know, what's the difference between, say, an American response and a Japanese response? Japan has had a 10-year recession that they've been pulling out of for a long time. All right, so what did the companies do? What kinds of business models did they change, not change? How did they share employees, not share employees? Listen to the international side of the responses so that you can hear, especially since the economy is so global, don't take such a local response when you have to do a business model change. In fact, a recession may be the cue for you to become more global. You've been talking about it. You've been thinking about it. Hello. This might be the time you need to do it. And the first one, I believe, if I'm remembering the dates right, was first broadcast on January 13th, I believe. It was a solo show of my talking about business model changes that I'm seeing in my customers and I'm doing myself. You know, sometimes it's not just a recession or some screaming and hollering in the marketplace that has you change your model. You know, people go through life changes, and sometimes you're ready to change your model because you had an opportunity. You're ready to change your model because you're ready to sell off some of your holdings and do something else. You're ready to change your model because you're not 20 years old anymore. There's our new technology has given you a new opportunity. So there's lots of reasons. There's different impetus, you know, for you to think about business model changing. It isn't just a panic response. In fact, that's when I find people get into trouble. I've been a growth strategist now for 38 years. And so in this opening segment, I often share, you know, advice about what I'm seeing. And here's what I'm seeing in the recession right now that worries me. You know, you want to gag the media. I get that. But there is a reactionary response. There is the, you know, the people that are going to cannibalize their own industry by panicking and saying we've got to sell whatever we can sell for whatever price we can sell it and then run as fast as we can. Well, it's a real good way to have you run out of money, have to lay people off, and not learn what you need to learn. Ironically, during a recession, it is a chance, it is an opportunity for you to shut up, slow down, and listen. Because customers are feeling more situational permission to complain. it's almost a double standard. I'm saying, you know, you and I and other service providers, we cannot be sitting there saying, oh, the recession's so terrible and this is so hard. I mean, please, nobody wants to hear it. Plus, you can't listen when you're talking like that. But if you can hear what the marketplace is saying, if you can hear what your customers are afraid of, okay, some of it's you're expecting it. You're expecting what they're going to say. They're cash tight. You knew that anyway. That they were having some problems getting credit and they're having a hard time understanding their banks. You knew that anyway. But when they start talking about what they were trying to do, hear what they're trying to do. And don't go jump for the sale, no matter what your product is, whether or not it's software or if it's consulting services, if it is distribution or bottled water. It doesn't make any difference. If your salespeople can actually listen to where your customers are trying to go, go as high in the organization as you can possibly go, I'm recommending that consultative selling is extremely important during difficult times. Instead of rushing back to your office and saying to the bosses, we have to do these 20 things immediately, throw the money at it, and not know which 20 things are going to stick so that you're now scattered and you don't know what's going to work, and so now you run out of money and you're disorganized. Instead of doing that, can you rank order what you're hearing from the customers? What are the key things that they're saying they need? You go back after, you know, depends on how fast your market moves, but you go back, could be the next day, could be the next hour, could be the next week, depending on how fast your prospects move and when they're available. You go back and you mirror back, here's what I heard you say. Here are the few things, I mean, I know you said 20 things, but here are the few things that you really value. And if we did those in a really good way, we did those the way you're asking for it, let us show you the technology we're using, let us show you the account managers we have, let us show you our experience and the fit between what you say is important to you and what we're doing. You're already on your way to a model change in most cases, because that's slowing down and actually tailoring to what your key target customers are needing and what they would value changes you to a premium provider by behavior. It changes you to a chance of having premium prices by behavior. There's a fit, a back and forth between what your customers are wanting, and there's a loyalty because you took care of them. You didn't presume you were right and just throw stuff at them. The relationships are becoming more and more important than before. Sounds ironic when we're so into internet, we're so into, you know, it seems like cold, you know, emails and hundreds of them every day. It seems very impersonal. Recessions open people up to, you've got to get back to, where's the sweet spot? Where are the customers that understand you? You understand them and you can serve best. That's where models come from. And I think it's not surprising that true wealth is made during recessions. I don't think it's surprising that some of the best innovations have come from recessions. You know, it's like your master's course in business, one of the first things they do is go through, you know, where did the innovations in everything from soda pop to software come from? And every single time, I swear, every single time it comes from recessions and it comes from those discussions. All right, so for this discussion today, I'm talking to a person, and I'll introduce him in a few minutes, who's been through model changes on the fly while he's working with a traditional organization, and then in the middle of what we're going through now in a very volatile industry, seeking out an organization that's got a model change and what's the difference between working with fairly traditional organizations versus riding the wave of doing something completely different. So we'll have two perspectives from the guests. All right, so which one are you? That's my question to you in this opening, you know, set of comments. Are you looking for another organization that already has a model that seems right for your customers? They've got a head start. Maybe you haven't been looking at this. My guests are, you know, and listeners, are between 20 and 200 million. It's not like your startups and micro businesses sitting there in a solo practice. You've got an ongoing enterprise. All right. If there isn't a fit between what you're doing and the profitability is eroding and you're concerned, it isn't just the recession, it's that you've got a model problem. Are you looking for another organization that has a head start, who did look at this a few years ago or 1 year ago, and that you could be affiliating with? There are strategic alliances and joint ventures and mergers, et cetera, happening now, not just to have efficiencies of money, but to have efficiencies of model change. Because if you don't have the resources to make a business model change, the easiest way for you to do it and for you to ratchet up and adjust could be affiliating with someone who had a head start. They may be looking for your capabilities. They may be looking for an additional staff It's expensive to go recruit and interview and train. If you've already got some capabilities, if you see that there is a misfit between what you're needing and what your customers are demanding, look for somebody who already has a head start. All right, second piece. What if your organization has had dissonance internally anyway? You've got, you know, the operations people or the marketing people, whoever it was, pointing out to you that, you know, our old way isn't working. We get objections that are just, there's a repeat pattern in our objections. We can tell we're in the wrong track. Can you pull together a core group of people that get it, that are listening to the customers, that aren't so married to this is how we do it here, and see how fast that momentum could go? I've seen spin-off businesses start in the last month or so that are pretty surprising. It's very exciting. I do intermediary work going to venture capitalists and private investors, and frankly, we're very busy with these new business proposals. And you know where they're coming from? They're coming from a group of dissonance within the companies that are saying, we're not going to give up on this recession. We're not going to give up without a fight. And this is the kind of change we've been wanting the company to do anyway. Maybe now you'll do it. And they can just see they're undercapitalized, but they've got a good concept. All right? Do you have that core group of people that have that dissonance, that passion, the desire to stay in business? It's not going to be everybody. There's, you know, the majority of people in any size business are just trying to do what they came in to do before, and they want somebody else to figure it out and tell them. And they're worried about their job, and they don't know whether or not they should be focusing on their resume or doing the day-to-day. That's the majority. But there's a core group of people that can be working on your spinoff, something that's a new division, something is the new wave, and you don't want to have it disrupt the whole, the total. Third situation is when you know you don't have a model that's going to come out of your current situation. But what's missing is just more effort in sales. Probably the most frequent thing I see people do during a recession that gets them into trouble is they lay off the salespeople and the marketing folks. And I'm saying to you, it's just the opposite. It's an interactional sport. Increased sales effort. Now, they have to be clear. They have to be able to listen, and they have to be able to tailor what they're doing. But just thinking you're going to have operations and wait this out is death. That's just death. But there are folks, when you do your strategic planning, you put your executives together, check it line by line by line. Is it profitable? Does it make sense? Is it needed? Is it unique? If you can confirm in your mind, you do not need a model change, okay? The model change might be kick butt and really sell. I'm going to bring you a banker to talk about a model change in banking when we come back. Just with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and we're in a four-part series on how to change your business model. Not just in response to a recession. I think a lot of people need to change their business model anyway. There's so many changes in the marketplace. There's technical changes. There's globalization. There's the environmental demands. There's a lot of reasons for us to be looking at this question anyway. The recession just accelerates the process. So I've reached out to someone I've known for quite a while, and think about this. We're talking about a business model change, and I'm asking a banker to talk. So your worry might be always going to be talking about how we're going to fund all these business model changes. No, no, no. I'm saying entrepreneur to entrepreneur, didn't change the model here around who's talking to whom. Tom Bracken has, what, 30 years experience, Tom?
More like 40.
Oh, is it 40? You can't possibly. You don't look like that.
It's true.
Well, I think you must like what you do because you don't look older.
Well, thank you.
All right, now, you started in what, Hamilton Bank, was it?
No, nope, I started in a bank called New Jersey National Bank.
New Jersey National. Oh, my gosh, you're talking about Trenton, New Jersey. And
Trenton, New Jersey.
Yeah, State Street or Warren Street or whatever it was.
State Street, yep.
And what'd you do?
I was a management trainee.
Oh, my gosh. So now that's a pretty traditional place. Am I remembering it right?
It was a very traditional bank had very traditional banking model with a retail component and a business component and a trust department and, you know, just a typical bank that was in existence in the late 1960s.
So I know people who are listening, they're not bankers. So when you say traditional, it means things like, is it the stodgy old board of directors that we picture in the movies or what?
That's a good description.
I don't mean to knock them, but they're not there anymore. So.
It was a very stodgy traditional bank that mirrored just about every bank in the U.S.
So that's
different sizes, obviously, but the model was very similar.
That's where you learned. Now, they got bought out, did they not?
We sold to an organization called Core States, which sold to an organization called First Union, which morphed into Wachovia, which sold to Wells Fargo.
Wow. So now you were with essentially that same organization through those changes.
I was there through the First Union purchase of Core States, and I stayed with First Union for a couple of years. So basically I was with one organization which had four different names, but I was with one organization for about 33 years.
And you moved up the food chain so that your top job was what? What was your highest title?
Well, at Core States, I was the market president for the state of New Jersey, which is one of the largest markets in Core States.
Yeah.
We had about 160 branches in the state of New Jersey at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then at First Union, I ran one of the business lines for the company.
Mm-hmm. And then you weren't there during the Wells Fargo change. You had shifted
no, I was
to become
not.
The CEO
I left,
of National by then, right?
Union, well, I left First Union when it was still First Union in 2001.
Oh, you weren't even there when they were Wachovia?
No.
Okay, so one of the reasons I'm going over a little bit of history is for the listeners to hear, okay, now let's say you've grown up in traditional settings and you've become an executive, because a lot of the listeners, that's the case. They're not, you know, not everybody's been, you know, an entrepreneur creating their own place. You've been very entrepreneurial, though, within fairly traditional organizations.
I've tried to be. I think the more entrepreneurial you are in the banking business, I think the more you relate to your potential customer base and the more attractive, hopefully, you are to those potential customers and the more you relate to your existing customer base, which is always important.
Now, without sounding like a complainer, because you're just not, you're a little bit of a misfit in banking and always have been. What were some of the things that you could see years ago that the banks just didn't understand, they didn't get, and could have done better? Give me an example.
I think a good example is that there were a lot of traditional parts of banking that banks were reluctant to modify dramatically. And the banks that did modify dramatically had some very strong success.
Like what? Like the fees that they would charge for certain
mostly things? It's mostly on the retail side.
Yeah.
Banks, a bank that we competed against in New Jersey for years, Commerce Bank, which I think arguably was one of the most dominant retail banks in the country and maybe in the history of banking, because they became very entrepreneurial on the retail side became very innovative on the retail side and made a name for themselves and did extremely well because they were willing to tweak the model.
They did things like, say, we're the most convenient bank, and it would be things like their hours of operation
the things they gave away, the amenities they had, the way they treated their customers, the look of the bank, the community outreach, all kinds of different things.
So did you try to make some changes within some of those traditional and more large banks while you were there?
Yeah, I think every bank tried to look at that model and decide that there were some good pieces of it that they thought they could incorporate into their banking franchise. And I tried to do it. I think in some cases I did. But, you have to really make the commitment and do it full scale to be able to compete with something like that. And we didn't have that kind of commitment, nor did anybody else that we competed against.
All right, and that's what I want everybody to hear. Okay, so you got a bright guy, up and coming, committed to banking, knows what he's talking about, very customer-centered. Think about your team. I'm talking to the listeners. Think about your team. You may have somebody like that who is proposing a change, and the first sentence that Tom's saying about, will it work, is if they get buy-in, can they see organization-wide support? And if you don't, it kind of dies. So right now, I think the leaders of organizations, the listeners, you're being tested about, is it going to be an organization-wide effort, or is it going to be stranding an individual trying to come up with a new idea, and they're on their own? Don't strand some of your key people. Either you're going to be looking at a model change and introducing a new service or challenging the marketplace with something, original, or you discourage the top people from even trying. All right, so you go to Sun National. You were there for how long?
6 years.
6 years. All right. Now, you did some innovations there.
Well, Sun National was a turnaround. It was a troubled institution. I knew it had issues when I was hired, and we had to correct the bank, turn it around, refocus the bank, and grow the bank. So we had to do many, many things to retool that organization.
So somebody could see that you were a change agent when they brought you in, huh?
I'm sorry?
Someone saw that you were a change agent when they brought you in.
Or hoped I was, anyway, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we had some very good success there. We did turn it around. We corrected the issues. We doubled the size of the bank. Probably, though, the most significant thing we did was, realizing that we were competing against this Commerce Bank that I talked about. I think
right.
We realized that on the retail side, we just didn't have the locations or the products or the technology to compete head-on with them on the retail side. Mm-hmm. So the bank had a very strong business banking focus, a commercial focus, and we just accentuated that focus, brought in a lot of very experienced bankers, penetrated the business community, got a lot of business accounts, which meant loans and deposits and fee income, and really grew the bank based on the image of a more business-focused institution than a retail-focused institution. And as I said, we doubled the size of the bank through internal growth and also a couple of acquisitions. So we did tweak the model a little bit there because we just took advantage of the strength that was there, and just tried to hold our own on the part of the bank that was not as strong, and where we didn't have the capability or the resources to retool the bank to compete with a giant like Commerce Bank.
So in some ways, now think about this, because some of the listeners are living with that. They may have a turnaround situation, and they're still dealing with the models essentially the same. The big change I saw as a resident of New Jersey and being, you know, kind of visible in the business sector as well, the aggression, the, you know, we're going to do something about this and kind of lift and be very visible was one of the model changes for Sun. No?
Right. It was. And then we did that. You're absolutely right. We had to increase the profile. And on the retail side of a bank, you can increase your profile just by having branches and, you know, having those 80, we had 80 branches or 75 branches, and they were our advertisement, and you could increase your profile by, you know, tweaking the branch look, et cetera.
Oh.
But on the business side, you did it through people who were aggressive in the marketplace and who networked, who joined organizations, took leadership roles in organizations, and you can dramatically increase your profile by doing it with the right people, and that's where we really focused our efforts.
Well, you're a talent magnet. I think some people that are listening, one of the things they have to think about is do they surround themselves with A players? And I wasn't surprised when you went to Sun and where you are now, and we got to get to that, that when somebody's on the move, and even if they've been in like pretty traditional outfits, the change agent, the star who's going to make a model change, stands out. And the folks who've been waiting for that to happen start dialing the phone and saying, hey, I'm seeing you're leaving. Are you interested in? And their executive team starts to change. And that's one of the things I want people to think about who are listening. All right, if you're on the move, who is around you? Is the group around you still running numbers and talking about 5 years ago? Are they talking about tomorrow? Are they aggressive? Are they, you know, so that they'd be excited about the equivalent of multiple branches and being visible and living in a glass house and the market holding them accountable? Or does that scare them to death and they want quiet, you know, meetings with the door closed? I noticed a lot of model changers are the ones that, you know, say, bring it on. Let the market talk to us because then we'll do the right thing. And that's who you are. So here we go. Now we're ready. We're going to go to a break. And here's the thing that's interesting. Who are you with now, Tom?
Tri-State Capital Bank.
See, and you had it's going to sound like the Temple University ads. You could have gone anywhere. You chose Tri-State Capital Bank. Why?
Because it was an innovative entrepreneurial approach to banking that had a very strong niche that I thought was the right concept at the right time.
So in a lot of ways, you know, the model, and that's what we're going to get into the next segment, the model is what, you know, in some ways the banks around you wanted some change agent internally would want to do, but they just couldn't make happen internally. You go out, you find it, and you're taken off. All right, that's what I want everybody to listen to. Sometimes it is a separate entity, guys. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com, achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Have you found yourself overwhelmed or stalled, not getting the goals you dream of? Hear what the experts say about how you can break through. Solutions, systems, skills. Get your strategy on track and accelerate your business success. Join Linda Feinholz every Monday for The Spark Effect. Linda and her guests will show you and your team exactly how to grow your business further, faster, easier. The Spark Effect is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Network.
Adding fractions is nothing.
For real?
Look, these are denominators. You multiply this one so that it's the same as that, then you add them up.
Man, that's easy.
Charles Bennett dreamed of returning to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without money for college, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A message from the UNCF and the Ad Council.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments, toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. 5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and I'm on the line with Tom Bracken of Tri-State Capital Bank. Okay, now, we got up to the point where you had all this experience with these other banks, and now you are a regional president. Is that your title?
Yes, I run New Jersey. Yes, I'm in charge of New Jersey.
Okay. Now, what's exciting about this is you have a really different model. Let's walk us through the model and why are you so excited about it?
Well, the model is a very focused niche. Most banks have two major components to them, the retail side of the bank, which caters to the consumer marketplace, mm-hmm. and the commercial side of the bank, which caters to the business market. We are a bank like any bank, except we have no retail component. We have no branches, and therefore all of our attention is focused on the business part of the marketplace.
So that takes the basic model and throws it on its ear.
Yeah, it's there are not many like us in the U.S. There's a handful that have tried this, one that has been very successful. We were probably the second really to jump into this niche. And what attracted me is that with the consolidation of the banking of the banks in this country, mm-hmm. There was a void being created with the middle market business community. And the void it was that as banks got bigger, they paid less and less attention to the business owners.
You sound like me when I'm ranting and raving about mid-market companies being ignored.
They are. They have been. They're getting more and more. They're getting less and less attention. And you know, companies who deal with a bank want to know that the banker knows them, they know their banker, they can rely on their banker, mm-hmm. and that kind of a relationship was just waning.
Oh, it's going away. It was just ridiculous.
So what we have created and what attracted me to this organization, which was a year old when I joined, that are really probably 3 months old when I first started talking to them, mm-hmm. was that they understood the dynamic of the middle market business community. And they put together an organization that went right at the heart of the problem mm-hmm. with very talented people, very state-of-the-art technology, a very extensive product menu, mm-hmm. and most importantly, with a philosophy of only hiring veteran bankers mm-hmm. who understood what banking was like when middle-market companies were paid attention to and catered to and you had great relationships. And they put it all together, and it was a great model that would have worked very successfully in normal banking times, normal being, you know, the consolidated industry normalcy.
Yeah.
But what has happened in the last year to banking has only accentuated the problem that I talked about earlier,
right,
and made our model even more attractive. So there's a great timing aspect to what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, and what's interesting is, again, the pattern. If you've got a model you're considering, you know, part of the dissonance is if anybody listened to the mid-market companies, they're going on boards, they're advocating, they're screaming at the government. There is this screaming behavior in the middle for quite a long time now. Okay, there's your hint, folks, that look at your marketplace. What are they mad at? What are they complaining about? Because today's frustrations and today's anger is tomorrow's really good business model solution. And that's what bankers, I don't think, were ever listening to. It was like, well, let's take care of the rich people, let's take care of the retail, and yeah, the middle's going to take care of itself. Well, it doesn't. And, you know, and if somebody actually hears that, all right, ask yourselves as listeners, if you're in software, if you're in banking, if you're in retail, I don't care, you know, who is screaming and hollering? You know, which customers have money, which have interest, which have needs, and it just feels like they're punching jello and screaming at, you know, the world, screaming at the sky. There's your cue. And then the second thing he's saying is it took pulling together really good people that would care about that for the model to work. It's not just what kind of services do we need to pull together to take care of those people who have screaming needs. It's also you better have some but the A players that want to do it. That can happen from within an organization, but within banking, I'm not surprised it took start again. I'm not surprised. So now tell me a little bit of the services. You know, give me the list. What could I get if I'm a Tri-State Capital Bank customer?
Well, our services on the business side are the services any business would need. We make loans. And we are still making loans, and we are actively soliciting loans.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of capital that we have gotten, and we need to leverage that capital to the benefit of our shareholders. So we are very aggressively after the loan market. Obviously, we have a deposit network that we provide for our customers, and we have an extensive deposit product menu for all of our business customers. I might add that we have one other folks besides middle market businesses, and that's the high net worth community.
Right.
But in the high net worth community, we are just looking to provide for the loan and deposit needs of those individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We are not in the wealth management business. We are not in the trust business.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people out there who own businesses or who have owned businesses and who have liquidated those businesses and have investments. Where they might have personal needs on the loan side and deposit side,
right,
and we actively solicit those that marketplace also. So we are very, very competitive with the large banks, the small banks from the standpoint of product menu. And, again, we're very focused on the middle market, and we are actively soliciting loan business today.
And are they able to get the cash management and the lockbox and that kind of stuff?
With everything. We have a very strong treasury management, cash management system. And product menu that we have developed. One thing about the three gentlemen who founded this company, Jim Goetz, Bill Schenck, and Mark Sullivan, they understood the need. They understood what they had to do from the standpoint of product and technology and people. And they put together a game plan. It was very, very strong. And they have followed through to a T in putting together a bank that would be competitive on all fronts with the business community. So,
and I've read that you're like hard driving toward the $2 billion kind of level, and you're like the fastest growing, you know, privately held bank in the country, correct?
I believe the American Banking Magazine has just listed us as the fastest growing bank in the U.S.
Yeah.
We are very well capitalized.
Good for you.
You know, we are filling a void right now that, again, has been accentuated by what's happening with the financial service industry.
Now, some of the concerns that a listener will have is, okay, I hear you. We have traditional model. We've got to change. We've got to get on a wave, a new model that has some momentum. But they're afraid of it because they don't know how to price it. They're worried about if they go out and their salespeople start to, you know, recommend this new thing. They get that dumb look back of, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm too scared to try anything new. Mm-hmm. What are some of the obstacles with this new model mentality? Is the sales call a little tough sometimes?
Well, the first obstacle is when you say you have no branches, and they say, well, then you're an Internet bank, right? And I say, no, we're not an Internet bank. We are a for-real commercial bank. We have four offices. We have one in Cleveland, one in Pittsburgh, one in Villanova, Pennsylvania, one in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. We cover Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey primarily. Mm-hmm. So the one issue we have to overcome is a lack of branches. And then when we get through that discussion and really articulate what else we have and what we have in the way of business products, people become more comfortable. But I think probably the biggest single thing we have to overcome is the fact we have no branches. And that's
I would think, you know, now
marketing.
With the news talking about the money managers that take money and then abscond with it and you can't find them and they're jumping out of airplanes to try to run away, you also get some other kinds of questions about show me the money.
Sure. We have to prove ourselves, and yeah. I think we do that because of how responsive we are to the people when they present opportunities, loan opportunities to us. And, you know, one of the things that you have to do in this business, which has become, and you as a business owner, Aldana, can appreciate this, a bank needs to respond quickly and appropriately to any request a potential customer or customer gives the bank.
Right.
And the bigger the banks get, the more cumbersome and lengthy that response is. We accelerate the response. You know, we get what we need. We have experienced people who can sit down with these people and tell them what we need before, so we can analyze their request, and we get back to them very quickly. If we can't do it, we tell them, and we tell them why. If we can do it, we tell them what we think we're going to need and what it might look like,
yeah.
and we move forward with them. But we do it in a very responsive way so that we can not hold them up and not leave them in limbo.
Now, is your acceptance percentage higher or lower than your competitors?
You mean
applying for a
loan?
How many people
proposals?
Are you turning down?
I would say I don't know about I don't know what our competitors' rates are, but I can tell you that from my experience with the other banks I've worked with, mm-hmm. we have an extremely high acceptance rate when we propose on a company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things I see people getting in trouble with the modeling is, you know, they're trying to do two things at once. If they're trying to, you know, have an expansion from an existing enterprise, and they don't want to let go of the old. And in this case, because you have a team of people that are motivated in the new model, they must be able to focus on perfecting the new model. They don't have any baggage to deal with.
That's exactly right. I mean, our whole I'll be the first to admit, we have not perfected our model yet. We have a lot of work to do to perfect that model. But, you know, we have enough good things in place that right now we stand out versus our competitors, mm-hmm. and we are constantly striving to make it a better place for businesses to bank. So we understand that we're not perfect. We're working on making it better, and, you know, I think part of the battle in being successful is understanding that there's always room for improvement.
So one of the things I'm hearing you say is that speed is one of the competitive advantages. And I can understand that because I take some deals to the venture capitalists right now, and the process is laborious. The due diligence is longer. It is amazing. It's like they don't want to do any business with anybody, even though they're desperate for deals. And we have to take a break. I want to talk about how do you do this new model on the fly. Which parts seem stable and which parts seem kind of in flux? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ampler. We'll be right back.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom, if I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking to Tom Bracken, who's the regional president for Tri-State Capital Bank. And Jason from Texas, you called in, and I somehow didn't weave you into the last segment. If you want to call back in, Tom and I will try to help you. Contact information for the show, if you're calling in right now, it's 1-866-472-5790. Let's get some contact information for me and for Tom, because there's people who don't like to call during the show, and they'd like to just kind of interview people for, you know, potential business, et cetera. So, Tom, where could people reach you?
You mean mailing address, email address?
Whichever way you want people to reach
everything? My email address is tbracken, B-R-A-C-K-E-N, at tscbank.com.
Okay. And phone number, is there like a toll-free number for people to call you?
My direct line is 609-512-2123.
Very good. And if anybody knows my name, which after listening to the program you seem to know it, its toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONA, A-L-D-O-N-N-A. I have multiple companies and multiple phone numbers, so if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you get. And the email is aldona@ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. Now, I want to go back to some of the differences in what they're doing in this model, particularly with the recession. Folks are skeptical, and they have to have things proven. What I like about it is that I can't get past the speed piece, because the experience that I and my mid-sized clients have had is they get so agitated with the banking process even before the recession. They apply, they wait, they start misinterpreting why it takes so long, and they're so agitated that even when they get a yes, they're annoyed. Talk to me about how you're going to maintain the speed and how you're doing this.
Well, you know, we have a sole focus. If we don't obtain business clients, and basically the way you obtain business clients in the banking business is you make them loans. Mm-hmm. So that's how we make our money. Mm-hmm. If we don't make loans to businesses or the high net worth community, we don't make any money. So we have to make sure that we have a competitive advantage, because that's our sole source of revenue. And we do that because we do that through the speed of execution. We do that through the flexibility we have in talking about the needs of our customer base. A lot of customers in the banking who have dealt with banks in the past few years have run into the boxes that banks have from a policy standpoint,
right,
where if you have a need, you have to fit into the bank box. And if you don't fit in the bank box, you might not get what you want or get something that's not going to work for your company. We don't have a box. We are very flexible. We, as I said, we hire veteran people with 20 years experience or more, mm-hmm, who've been around, who understand that companies need to be, every deal needs to be tailored to the company. So we are very flexible in how we structure deals and try to come out with a deal that the company is satisfied with and we can live with. It's kind of the old style way banking used to be done. But we've incorporated that into our business model because that's what the business community wants. So
you actually go out and you sit down with a business person and say, where are you headed? What are you trying to do? I mean, you actually have that conversation?
Yes, we do. And we sometimes we look at where their banking situation is today, mm-hmm, and realize that it's not a good fit for them and restructure what they have.
So the interest rates that you're talking about on these loans, are they competitive, or are we talking
very competitive? You know, at the end of the day, no matter how flexible and experienced you are and responsive you are, you still have to be competitive. So we are competitive from an interest rate standpoint. And again, you know, at the end of the day, you want to make sure that the whole experience with this customer or potential customer has been positive, so that you end up with a very strong relationship with your customer. And And that speaks to being competitive, both price-wise and product-wise, having been responsive and having them feel that you've been very flexible in addressing their needs.
See, one of the things I've noticed with people who are changing business models is they sound obsessed and focused. You ever notice that? So, you know, if they decided we're going to be fast, they measure that, they talk about it, they monitor it, they hire for it, and they're obsessed about it. They don't just say it. And if they're going to be the cheapest game in town, they're going to try to be, you know, competing against Walmart. They really monitor price all the time. So you do need to pick what, you know, where's your sweet spot when you're when you're looking at business models. I think it matters. Some banks that I've been dealing with, you know, one of the things they'll do is they'll have categories of companies that they just don't want to do business with. I brought in a pretty large self-storage business. So, you know, they're a prominent business in New Jersey. It was amazing how many bankers basically said, we don't do self-storage, like they were snobby.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't believe it. Now, tell me how you're going to prevent that kind of behavior.
Well, it goes back to the basic principle of banking that I have followed for 40 years. And banking is a people-to-people business.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no industry discriminations at Tri-State. Mm-hmm. Our philosophy is that within every industry, there are good companies, and the good companies are led by good people. So if we can find good people that we believe in and they believe in us, no matter what industry they're in, we can potentially make a customer out of them.
So if somebody hadn't listened to the program, they're not going online to learn, where would they have heard about you? Where are they seeing the billboards or the ads, or would they have gotten a call? How do people connect with a bank like yours?
We have been very low-key so far because we wanted to make sure that everything we had we could follow up on the things that I've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have in New Jersey, and I can only speak to New Jersey because that's what I'm most familiar with. We have done some interviews with some of the business periodicals. We have gone on panels. Most of our advertising has been through interviews or people-to-people networking, going to the professional community, introducing ourselves to the professional community, and just sort of word of mouth, letting people know what we're all about. And it has resonated, and is we're getting some very good traction out of that.
Yeah, and I find that happens. With new business models, a lot of times it's the buzz, that there's, you know, a core group of people that get it, that try it, that, you know, make some money out of it, or, you know, the service feels different and they're special. I've seen businesses that everything from back massages to, you know, the massage chairs that are now at airports that started out with,
right,
you know, wait a second, there's some difference here, and they end up with these spas that are in airports. So it's not just whether or not you're a banker, but I think it's particularly profound. Everybody kind of listen to this. It's profound that somebody in a very conservative industry can sound like Tom does. Excited about a new model, re-energized after 40 years, and going out there eyeball to eyeball, tailoring services. Okay, now, tell me what your biggest objection is as to why you can't do a business model. Think about the beginning of the show. Go back when you heard me talking about you've got a business model you need to change on the fly during a recession. What's the biggest objection? The people that are sitting around the table. Got the wrong people around the table? Do some homework there first. Why try to get somebody to change when if they were excited about it in the first place? They were ready to sound like Tom sounds like. Feel the momentum when the right people are at the table. My wish for you, as it is every week, is accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Donna Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.